What's up, Atlanta? Happy Tuesday with Turtle. A little gray outside, but I did remember my umbrella this time, so I didn't have to get another pair of headphones ruined, get my clothes disgusting, and sit here for 5 hours with you being miserable. So that's good. The Braves continue to make us miserable, and so does Spencer Strider. Yeah, so let's talk about that, shall we? Three options. Three options, peeps, for Spencer Strider in terms of what I think the Braves should do for the rest of the season. They got three doors they could walk through, and I'm going to ask you to choose one. So give me a call at 404-726-0929. Put your do your best Alex Anthopoulos impression. What should the Atlanta Braves do with Spencer Strider? Door number one. Do nothing. Just let him continue to try to work things out. You need him to pitch anyway. Just let him remain a starter, and hopefully he gets better. So door number one, do nothing. Door number two, put him in the bullpen. Maybe you kiss it, you keep it simple, stupid, and you allow Spencer Strider to focus on one inning at a time, and essentially one pitch at a time, which is the four-seam fastball. Let him do it. See if he can. We know he has the bulldog mentality, right? We know he's a dog. So I think he has the perfect mental makeup for a closer. And this is something that we talked about before. You guys know I was advocating to try this months ago. Well, here we are again. So door number one, do nothing. Door number two, try him out in the bullpen. Maybe you find success there. And you can decide in the offseason, based on conversations with him, how he feels, what his team thinks, what the Braves think of how they should proceed. Maybe this is a John Smoltz or a Mariano Rivera situation. Maybe it is. Or door number three, shut him down. No mas. Because when you give up in Spencer Strider's last 11 innings, he's given up 20 earned runs. Yes, you heard that correctly. And 30 hits. Wow. Wow. We did those numbers late in the show last night after he was done in the game. That game took forever. That game took almost 4 hours to get done last night because it was 13-9. So Spencer Strider, door number one, do nothing. Let him pitch. Door number two, send him to the bullpen. And door number three, sit him down for the season. What should the Atlanta Braves do? 404-726-0929. You get to play GM, owner, manager tonight on Chris Thomas Tonight. I'm going to put up a poll as well at CT Tonight, 929, and I'll give you those three options. Again, those are the only three options they have, in my opinion anyway. Do nothing, put him in the pen, or shut him down. Which is the best for Spencer? Because you got to think, it's not about this season. I mean, yeah, I guess you can make the argument it's about his confidence, but at the end of the day, it's about the future, and he is well part of the Braves' long-term plan as the ace of this staff once Chris Sale wraps it up, which you would think would be in a season or two, probably, unless he's going to pull a Rich Hill and try to pitch till he's 48 years old, but I don't know about that. He's got too much pride. So he's the type of guy, Strider, that you're looking at to lead your rotation for the next decade. I mean, what is he, 26, 27, if that? So you got to protect him. And right now, the kid needs protecting from himself. So again, 404-726-0929. Door number one, nothing. Just let him ride. We have so few starting pitching options available at this point. He might as well just figure it out at the major league level, see what he can do, and confidence and all that stuff be damned. He just let it ride. He's going to do what he's going to do. Door number two, try the bullpen thing. Maybe it works. Maybe you got a closer for the next 35, 40 games. One that can actually get it done on a consistent basis. And maybe we see 97, 98 again instead of 95, 96. Maybe that slider gets that bite back, that late movement that it used to have. Maybe it does. Or door number three, do the unthinkable, right? Oh, my goodness, Turtle, the unthinkable. How can you sit him? How can you sit him? Because he stinks right now. He's awful, like unbelievably awful. Again, 11 innings pitched, 20 earned runs, and 30 hits over his last three outings. That's it's quite literally, we exaggerate all the time in sports radio. It's what we do. It is quite literally unbelievable when you hear those numbers. So what should they do? If it was me, I'd try the bullpen thing. Why not? It doesn't have to be like, I feel like there's just so much extremism, and I get it because it's the season has gone the way that it's gone. But just because you try it doesn't mean you have to stick to it. And it could be an arsenal that you have in your back pocket, right? It could be something maybe for a playoff run next year. Who knows? You know, it could just be a new and a different weapon that you could deploy in terms of having somebody that in a playoff run, you know, in a pinch. Starters come in playoffs all the time, right? What about Strider as a closer in a World Series game? You don't know until you try it, right? So that's what I would do. What would you do? Before we catch a break, let's hear from Grant McCauley. He joined the boys on Dukes and Bell, and they asked him straight up what's going on with Spencer Strider. It's just something that it's just hard to pinpoint one thing specifically. Like, is it mechanics? Is it confidence? Is it fatigue? Is it pain? Is it an injury? Like, I don't know what the situation is. So it's really difficult to say it's this or it's that. It's really difficult to say, well, I know for a fact that it's, you know, his arm angle is off by 3 degrees. No, it is what it is. And the guys asked Grant McCauley about it, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, and we've talked about this some, about how this year is really, I think it's got to be a springboard for next season as much as anything, especially at this point for him. But you knew missing an entire year with an elbow surgery that you can't expect to come back and just be the guy you were right before the surgery without any speed bumps, without any tests, without any, you know, I don't want to say physical setbacks, but, you know, knock on wood, you don't want to deal with those. But the hamstring right out of the gate was also something that he had to, I guess, get over. But really what I've seen, especially lately, is that the velocity for him has been at his highest average fastball velocity of any starts at any point this year. And he'd gotten in that really nice run for about a month and a half of seeming like he was getting those results. But this last few outings, especially these last three, have just been baffling in a lot of ways. And I think Spencer, if you listen to his comments after yesterday's game, has been likewise a bit frustrated, certainly, but also in a search for answers as to why exactly his pitches aren't competing the way that he needs them to. I think that the one thing I took away more than anything was that physically, to do the things that he was able to do before, he's going to have to continue, I think, the process of getting these reps. And he also, I think, needs the offseason to build more strength so that that platform for being the guy that we expect to see, the guy who can sit in the high 90s with a fastball that not just gets over the plate, but if you remember with Strider, like, that thing had life and it rose when right. It got to the plate. And that's what made his slider so impressive. But even the slider, which is an elite put-away pitch, that's not getting the results he needs either. He's made some mistakes with it. They've been punished. He came into this season having allowed 7 home runs in his career off his slider. He has now allowed 7 home runs off his slider just this season. So something's not quite right on the shape of that pitch, the execution of that pitch. And obviously his fastball has not been the elite level that was either. I got into some serious StatCast stuff on Sunday on From the Diamond about it, where he used to have an elite fastball in the top 20% of Major League Baseball. He is now under in the bottom 10% as far as fastball run value is concerned. And what that tells you is it's a pitch that hitters are really, really punishing right now, and he's got to figure out a way to compete with it.
Yeah, that basically sums it up right there from Grant. So what do you think? 404-726-0929. What should the Atlanta Braves do with Spencer Strider for the remainder of the season? Should they just leave him in the rotation? Should they move him to the bullpen? Or should they sit him down until next season? 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. We'll take your calls when we get back. The Spencer Strider situation. What should the Braves do? We'll talk to you about it next. Poll is up at CT Tonight 929. At CT Tonight 929. If you don't follow the account, that is where all the show things are posted, including my pre-show video every day, the polls, the podcast page, everything you need to find all things Chris Thomas Tonight at CT Tonight 929. What should the Braves do with Spencer Strider for the remainder of the season? Three options. Leave him in the rotation, move him to the bullpen, or sit him down for the season. I'm going to refresh right now. Early batch of votes are in. So far, leading the way, sit him down for the season at 40%, move him to the bullpen at 36%, leave him in the starting rotation at just 24%. I'm going to be interested to monitor this one as we go along tonight. I have a feeling there might be some changes in how y'all are feeling about this as we talk it out, which we are doing right now on the phones with you at 404-726-0929. You get to play GM, coach, upper management. You're them. What are you doing with Spencer Strider for the rest of the season? Leave him in the rotation, move him to the bullpen, or sit him down for the season. Joey gets us started tonight on a Tuesday with Turtle. Joey, what do you think?
Yeah, hey, man. I think that you should just send him to the bullpen for a couple of reasons. It opens up things. So as far as if he is dealing with something nagging, him being in the bullpen, it gives him rest. And then because obviously he's not, you know, pitching those amount of innings. And then it also opens up if he does well in the bullpen, options for next year, say they want to keep him there as a closer, it might put more pressure on Liberty Media, even though that can be a joke sometimes, as far as bringing in another starter to fill his spot and hope
well,
some more starters.
Well, they need to do that anyway, Joey, right? They need a couple of starters.
Yeah, so I think that puts more pressure on them to do that if he exceeds and excels in the bullpen.
Joey, I know you're a good Braves fan. To the best of your ability, what do you think? What's your theory on what is going on with him right now?
I think that has a lot to do with him really not being 100% and / the mental aspect of it. I think he's kind of in his head about his confidence and how that's going for him. So I think it's just a combination of not being 100% / you know, the mental aspect of it. You know, his performance is playing a big part on how his, you know, performance is going.
Yeah, Joey, I appreciate the call. Good stuff, man. Starting off, appreciate it. 404-726-0929. I don't know, and it's not my place or your place to say, because we are not doctors. We are not on the medical staff. But Oren, it just doesn't look right, man. It just doesn't look right. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, I'm not saying that he's injured. I have no idea. But Joey's right. It doesn't look like he's certainly 100% recovered, at the very least. But something's not right. Again, whether it's some combination of physical, mental, hurt, pain, injury, like, it's some combination maybe of all of those things. We have no idea. And we'll probably never know. We'll maybe find out more in the offseason. But in terms of, like, trying to figure out exactly what's going on with Strider right now, I don't see that happening anytime soon. 404-726-0929. Let's continue on the phones. What should the Braves do with Spencer Strider? Leave him in the rotation, move him to the bullpen, or sit him down for the rest of the season? Our friend Vicky's up next. Vicky, what do you think?
Hi, Mr. Turtle. Yeah, I choose the option of Spencer Strider taking a long stride right over to the bullpen.
Yeah, I like you, Vicky. That's all. You know, Vic, I agree. Because you know why, Vicky? It can't hurt, right? Like the season, like you're not making the playoffs. There's nothing to lose from it and everything to gain. Because maybe you find out he's a really good pitcher out of the bullpen.
I feel like he's got self-doubt. And if he could go over there and just see how good he is, that he's able to be really well in a few innings, he can just get people out. It'd be great. And his confidence will build. And then he can move back to where he was.
Vicky, great call. Appreciate you checking in as always. I agree with you 1,000%. I think Vicky's right, y'all. Because there's nothing to lose. That's the whole point. Like everybody who was, you know, pearl clutching about this when I first brought it up a couple of months ago, the season was still lost at that point. Like it hasn't gotten any better. It's only gotten worse. Why not? Just try it. What if he's great at it? And quite frankly, I think he would be. We know he has the makeup for it. I know he's not showing it right now, but in the past when he was, you know, himself, he's the definition of a bulldog. So why can't he do it at the end of the game? He was doing it at the beginning of the game. I don't see why not. 404-726-0929. Alan is up next. Alan, what do you think?
Yes, definitely no on option three. I've always thought of Spencer as a closer or late bullpen guy. He doesn't have all the pitches. And I do think the other Spencer is our future ace because he has the pitches. I don't know what's going on with Strider. It may be he's not 100%, and he doesn't seem like he has the confidence. So those are my comments.
Yeah, Alan, appreciate it. I think you're right. I think you're right with everything you said. He doesn't have the confidence. He doesn't look like himself, and he hasn't been like himself. I think that's pretty much what we've been looking at, Alan. He's a shell of that former guy, and you can hear it in his post-game comments. He sounds like a lost puppy out there when he's talking to the media. He doesn't have the answers. He literally said in one of his post-game comments last night, Oren, he's like, well, if I had the answers, I'm pretty sure I would have done it by now. Like, thanks, Captain Obvious. So you're 100% right, Alan. 404-726-0929. Good call so far. Let's see if Jody continues the trend. Jody, you're up next.
Hey, yeah, I work at the stadium. I'm there during the day all the time, and I watch him warming up and going through his drills. And he is in his head a lot. I just don't think he believes he can throw the ball 100%. You know how when they running back or has that ACL issue and had that surgery and they just don't know if they can make that cut yet and they have like a half a season for beyond what the status of recovering from that is? That's what it is for him. If you watch him snap the ball through, his right leg is not falling across like he usually is. He usually has that complete fluid snaparoo like it's a slingshot thing falling through. He's not doing that. He's more conservative with his follow through. And I truly believe that's what it is for him.
Jody, that's a really great call. Thanks for the insight. Anything else you notice at the ballpark throughout the season, feel free to call in and give us the skinny. That's Jody from Truist Park. I'm telling you right now that he watches Spencer Strider every time he throws and warms up. And that he clearly doesn't look the same. And that just confirms everything that we've been talking about. And we know one thing, Spencer Strider is maniacal with his workout, maniacal with his routine. There's a reason his legs look like that, guys. Tree trunks, because he's obsessive compulsive with it. That's what makes him a great pitcher. Philip, close us out this segment. Philip, what do you think?
I think they need to sit him down for the rest of the year, let him get good and healed up. I'm not going to compare baseball and football, but remember Cam Newton came back from a bad shoulder injury. I think he came back way too soon. He should have sat out for the remainder of the season or whatever, and I think that shortened his career a little bit because I think he just came back a little bit too quick. So Strider's a great athlete. He needs to just sit down and heal up.
Yeah,
and maybe come back in the bullpen.
Yeah, Philip, appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking in. I don't hate it. The only thing I wouldn't do right now is just leave it status quo. That's just me. The only thing I wouldn't do right now is just say, Phillip, yeah, we're just going to leave him in the rotation and just see what happens. I think that only has a chance to shorten his confidence and his ability to bounce back next year even more. I don't like that plan. Something needs to be done. Again, if in your last 11 innings pitched, you've given up 30 hits and 20 earned runs, something's got to be done. If his name wasn't Spencer Strider, you know where he'd be right now? A Gwinnett. Or maybe even further down than that. But since he's Spencer Strider, we're talking about it like we are. 404-726-0929. Good job. Appreciate everybody checking in on the phones. When we get back, we'll talk to Caleb Johnson. A little two-prong interview coming up because the Hawks, did you know they finalized their roster? Yeah, me either. I saw that the other day. A couple of players that we're going to learn about next with Caleb Johnson. And also the Dogs. Kirby doesn't seem too happy at practice. Does he ever, though? We'll see if it's a big deal or not. It's Chris Thomas, the Night Turtle, with you till 10. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Didn't think we'd have much Hawk news to talk about tonight. And then they went out and they made a couple of signings. So let's find out who your newest Atlanta Hawks are, and then we'll talk some Dogs as well with our good buddy Caleb Johnson, reporter for both of those squads right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Caleb, let's start with our Hawks here. I saw the name, which I'm not going to butcher, so I'll let you do that. First player from the G League who averaged 15 last year. Seems like a really good deal. And then I saw like the analytics NBA crowd, my buddy Keith Smith and guys from the Twitter sphere talking about what a steal this was for Ansi Saleh and how his great summer run has continued. So give us a skinny on all that. What have the Hawks been up to?
Yeah, so Nafali Dante is his name, and he is a 6'11" center who has been on a two-way contract with the Houston Rockets. This has been somebody that essentially is in development mode. You know, it's just one of those. There's a lot of young guys that are kind of coming up and need to get that extra development. I mean, we've seen it from guys like Jalen Johnson who had the opportunity to do so. And then you even think of a guy like Mo Gay who has clearly used the G League to his benefit. And you mentioned kind of the, you know, what Keith Smith talked about on Twitter. The savviness of this deal is what really blew me away because you are not alone. And a lot of people saw the name and were like, huh, okay, number one, I don't know how to pronounce it. And number two, never heard of the guy. And that's okay because, like I said, he's, you know, played for like a cup of coffee in Houston. Otherwise, he's been spending time in the G League. The reason why this is a big deal is because this is the first time that the NBA has had a team offer or send out an offer sheet to a player who is on a two-way contract, because you have unrestricted free agents and restricted free agents. When you have restricted free agents, you can send out an offer sheet that the team who holds their bird rights, who has, you know, can essentially has the best opportunity to sign them, can match that offer. We saw a similar deal a few years back with Bogey Bogdanovic as the Sacramento Kings held his bird rights. And, you know, they could match whatever deal that the Hawks had to offer, but ultimately they let him go and he ends up with the Hawks. You find yourself in a position now where the reason why this is business savvy is Nafali Dante was offered a contract from Atlanta of 2 years and $4.5 million. If you know about Houston's current situation financially, they are very, very close to the second apron of the luxury tax. That's because they went in big on the Kevin Durant trade. They are trying to win now. And so, sure, they still need to fill out a roster, but they were not in a financial position to be able to match Atlanta's contract of $4.5 million over 2 years. This is, and it's funny, I was talking to our boss, Mike Conti, about this earlier today. This is where you see Ansi Saleh's, the fact that he was a cap analyst, and this is how he kind of got his start in the NBA. You know, he was a lawyer, so he looked into like the legalese of all of these things, studying contracts and all of that. This is what Ansi finds to be fun. And so what is one of the fun things? Oh, well, let me capitalize on a position of need, which is the center position for Atlanta, and do it in a way where I can get it done cheaply and I can get it done where I know that the team that he's coming from can't really do anything about it. So all of this is just, it's just another way of going, man, I mean, Ansi has not been on the job very long, and yet add this to the list of this offseason moves where you go, okay, is that singular move going to win a championship? No. But are all of these moves adding up to make the Atlanta Hawks better now and in the future? Yes, and that's exactly what you're looking for. Like, that's what you want to be doing, you know, when you're Tony Ressler and you're hiring people who put your team in the best position to win.
Same question about forward Caleb. Is it Houston or Houston?
It's Houston.
Okay, Houston. Yeah, it's Houston. Caleb just, Houston.
Just spelled a little bit differently. This is an interesting one because it was funny. If you were like a super nerdy Hawks fan that, you know, gets on Reddit threads or that stays on Twitter a whole lot, there were conspiracy theories going out about Caleb Houston because we learned weeks ago that this was going to take place, that the Hawks were interested in signing Caleb Houston, who is a former Orlando Magic player that kind of once again spent a lot of time in the G League, not as much time as Nafali Dante did, but is still in his development years, because this is what the Hawks want to do. They want to be young and develop their talent. In fact, just kind of as a side note, like Kristaps Porzingis and Luke Kennard are the only players, I believe, over the age of 26, and they're both on one-year deals. So that kind of tells you how Ansi wants to build this roster. He wants to do it young. And getting a guy like Caleb Houston, who helps you out at another position that you were a bit thin at, because a lot of people were wondering, hey, you know, when Zachary Risacher is off the floor, how are the Hawks going to handle the three position? Because it seems like you would either have to have someone play up in size from the two or play down from the four because just of how this roster is put together and kind of who you have available. Caleb Houston helps out with that. Is he going to be used a ton throughout the entire season? No, probably not. Definitely still a development role. As he is someone who shoots the three ball insanely well. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, I think I saw this correctly, after the All-Star break last year, he shot 51% from three the rest of the way. So shoots the three ball really well, and that's certainly something that Ansi Salehe finds important and wants to continue to grow on. He's also really good in the steals category, so that's something to kind of help out this team as well. So it's once again, it's another savvy move that the conspiracy theories were about whether or not the Hawks wanted to leave an open roster spot in order to, hey, maybe somebody comes across our attention that we didn't think was going to be available and we can snag that player. Well, either they don't think that's going to happen or they feel confident enough and Caleb Houston joining this team, so much so that they're out of roster spots. You have 18 players on this roster right now between the 15, that are on the team and then the 3 2-ways.
So another interesting move today happened in the NBA. Just sort of reflect for me on the career of John Wall, one of the great could-have-beens in the NBA, decided to hang it up today.
Yeah, it's funny. When guys like this call it a career, it's usually a year after they actually called it a career, because this was obviously heading this way for quite some time for John Wall, who, as you mentioned, a big time what if had injuries not played such a factor in his career. And then also, I mean, just the Wizards. That was kind of one of those. He could only play with who the team put around him, and felt like most of the time, of course, across his career, that it wasn't a very good team, as those Wizards teams didn't advance very far.
Marcin Gortat would like a word, Caleb.
Okay. Sure. Like, it's one of those. Who am I thinking of? Oh, you know who I thought, when you say Gortat, I think of Ilgauskas, who played with LeBron in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, the Cavs, Ildrunas Ilgauskas, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, those are the guys where at the time that they're playing, you know, when they're playing with a guy like John Wall or Ilgauskas playing with LeBron, you talk about how good they are and the skill sets that they have that help a young star kind of, you know, perform. And then when that player leaves that situation or you know, retires or whatever, then you're like, man, I mean, just you needed so much more than that. And clearly, like, LeBron needed to leave that situation in order to eventually go win a championship and all of those sorts of things. So, I think John Wall, I'm very interested because he's tried to do the whole, hey, let me weigh in on, you know, the game of basketball after my career. And I don't know that I'm the biggest fan of that sort of a thing. Maybe he's not quite as bad as Gilbert Arenas, but for his playing career, definitely was someone who, I mean, surely gave the Hawks fits a ton of different times. And in fact, like, I remember, because to age myself, like, those days were when I was, you know, in high school and early college, and it was certainly annoying for, you know, John Wall and Bradley Beal being pests to Atlanta, especially in the postseason and that sort of thing. But, you know, had a great career. And like I said, I mean, it's been over. I don't think he's played since 2023. So he's been retired for a while. He just makes it official now.
We switch our coverage now to Athens, where, Caleb, it's an annual tradition, but I think it may have a little bit more merit this season given the roster turnover. But Kirby, after their second scrimmage, none too thrilled, especially with the defensive line.
This is funny, Chris. I was having this same conversation with Steak this morning when we were talking about Georgia Tech Brinkey was talking about this. I did Sports Extra with Maria Martin over the weekend, and we were talking about, like, Brinkey came to the podium and he was talking about how sorry his team is and how they've really got to step up and how there was, you know, just so much disappointment that he has right now, and they've got to get a lot better if they're going to be any good this year. And those are the types of things that you want to hear from your head coach, because if your coach is going to the media and trying to convince the media how good your team actually is, especially if you're Georgia, that is when I would be very, very, very concerned. Now, granted, in the same respect, Kirby Smart has a lot of reason to be very nervous about the season and feel like his team is behind. He's been one who has talked about one of the things that the transfer portal hurts is he doesn't have near the level of depth that he's had in times past, where you could lose a 5-star on the offensive line and turn to another 5-star. You could lose a 5-star running back and turn to another 5-star running back. And now it's getting a little murkier of how you handle these roster decisions and how you keep players happy and keep them around. And then you have a schedule where, yes, thankfully it's at home, but you play Alabama, you play Ole Miss at home, you know, you get Texas this year, and then you end your season with clearly a Georgia Tech team that people are really high on and expect a lot out of because they have veterans in, you know, Haynes King and Jamal Hayes out of the backfield that Georgia doesn't have. Georgia doesn't have that veteran leadership, and they're going to have to find it along the way. And the thing that they're lucky to have is Marshall and Austin Peay as their first two opponents before they have to face Tennessee.
All right, before I let you go, the Gunner Stockton confidence meter has been wavering all off season long. Now that we're just a couple of days away from actually things getting started, where do you stand on where you think the pulse is on him heading into week one?
Man, this is the deciding factor of the season, I think, like, not to be dramatic, but to be dramatic, is how good Gunner is. Because if he lives up to the potential that's certainly there, that was why he was so highly touted coming out of high school, then you feel pretty comfortable about what Georgia can put together, because they're still a running team. And so there are going to be that factor. And man, do they have just a workhorse after workhorse coming out of the backfield in order to play alongside Gunner. And he's got weapons this year that, frankly, Carson Beck has not had in times past, at least the last couple of seasons, ever since ever since Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey left. And so that's, like, Gunner is the one question mark element of all of this, where if you mess up and you have a bad game against Tennessee week three, then there are question marks heading into Alabama of, do you go to Ryan Puglisi, or can Gunner find himself and get this thing on track? Because, I mean, then you lose another, you know, if you were to lose another one, like, it could really spin out of control pretty quickly, all based around how comfortable Gunner is. We saw him against Notre Dame, and I just felt like the lights were a little bit too bright, but it was also just a really impossible situation that wasn't helped by his receiving corps, who dropped big-time passes in big moments in that game. And he just, like, he held it together in against Texas, and that was as much as you kind of have seen out of him. I still have the confidence. I like the fact that Georgia, for the first time since Stetson Bennett, is going to have a quarterback who can run around and do some things in that element. And I think they'll actually trust Gunner to do more of that than they ever did Stetson, because, you know, obviously, like, the five-star versus the walk-on and all of that. So that is to say, I am cautiously optimistic about Gunner. I need to see it in person. If the lights are too bright at 3:30 against Marshall next weekend, I'll be very concerned. But if he can handle that pretty comfortably, then maybe by week three, when you get to Tennessee, you'll feel pretty comfortable in what Gunner Stockton can do.
Great stuff, Caleb. Appreciate you as always. We'll check you out on Twitter, ATLJohnson18, for all the latest on the Hawks and the Dogs. We'll chat next week.
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. That is Caleb Johnson there. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, 5 true and false questions from Big O on the Falcons and the final preseason depth chart has been released. There's one big surprise on it, and I'll tell you what that is when we get back. It's Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.